its current state here on 90.5 WKAR. The Labor Day weekend may have been a relaxing respite for many of us, but it was a busy time for the presidential candidates. On Saturday, GOP nominee Donald Trump visited a black church in Detroit, and Green Party candidate Jill Stein spoke at Eastern Market. Yesterday, former President Bill Clinton headlined the Metro Detroit Labor Day Parade as a surrogate for his wife, Hillary. Election Day is 9 weeks away. How about that? Joining me in the studio to talk about this year's political season, Dr. Matt Grossman. Matt's a political scientist and a director of the Institute for Public Policy and Social Research, IPSR, here at MSU. Matt, welcome back.
Good to be with you.
So the presidential campaign ran through Michigan again over the weekend. Trump visited Great Faith Ministries International Church in Detroit on Saturday, a majority African-American congregation. The key line from the speech was that if he's elected, wrongs will be made right. And he was very well received inside the church. What did you make of this visit and Trump's remarks?
Well, fairly typical, somewhat vague remarks from Donald Trump. But I think that it is important for him to be doing this outreach, both so that normal Republican voters don't think of themselves as being in an all-white party, and they see that their candidate is attempting to reach out, and so that he can improve his dismal support among African-Americans that was at 2 or 3% or 0% in some polls. So at that point, you're losing African-Americans who voted against Obama twice. So he has some room to grow, both among African-Americans and white voters who would be concerned about the racial tenor of the campaign.
Among Donald Trump's comments, I'll defend your right to worship, and quote, we need a civil rights agenda for our time. Have you had a chance to gauge the response from the African-American community? How do you think these remarks are going over amongst African-Americans?
Well, most African Americans are Democrats and are likely to support Hillary Clinton. But I think it's useful to keep in mind that at the point that he's has almost no African American support, that means he's not really talking to the whole African American community. He's talking to those people who normally side with the Republicans and have stuck with the Republican Party even through the Obama administration, and at least trying to get those folks on board.
White college educated voters who apparently, according to the data, are taking a while or hesitant about getting behind Trump. It's more a message to that section of the electorate.
Well, I think that's true, but I also think there's always going to be room to grow among African Americans when you start near zero, and so he's just trying to pick up a few points there as well.
Well, outside there were a number of protesters, including Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan, who commented that the visit felt like a Madison Avenue image makeover, and he felt like he was watching the next season of The Apprentice. Here were the protests pretty much what you would have expected?
I think it was pretty much what you would have expected. And I would say Madison Avenue might be an improvement on what we have been seeing from the Trump campaign. I think there are some signs that the new advisors, particularly Kellyanne, have moved the candidate toward a more traditional campaign, and that may be working toward his favor.
What have GOP presidential candidates who've tried to court the African-American vote before Trump learned about messaging, about shaping their message?
Well, I think they reach out to African Americans on the basis of broad conservatism, on some social conservatism often. And again, we're not thinking that that's a majority of African Americans, just that that will get more than in some prior elections. And I think the other thing they've learned is that you can't be perceived as a racist, because that's going to turn voters off immediately. And that's what's happened in this campaign.
Well, we're talking about the flurry of presidential candidates and their surrogates that have visited Detroit here in the last few days. Dr. Matt Grossman's our guest. He's a political scientist and director of the Institute for Public Policy and Social Research here at Michigan State University. Bill Clinton was in Detroit yesterday to march in the Labor Day parade. He was there just 2 days after Trump's appearance, and he was asked if he was concerned about Trump's pitch to African Americans. Here's former President Clinton.
If we have to do something else to counter it, then you assume that the entire African-American community is suffering from amnesia after what Hillary did for Flint, the work I did with Detroit.
Any response to the Clinton visit or those comments?
Well, this is pretty typical of Democrats to have a specific outreach campaign for African Americans and tout the specific attempts that they've made to solve problems in Detroit and Flint, and it's mostly working.
Historically, Detroit's been a crucial stop on Labor Day for Democrats, but with the troubles that plague Hillary Clinton's campaign as well, the emails, the Clinton Foundation special access, and on, will labor unions be a more difficult voting bloc for her to woo than in the past?
Well, she has more support among teachers unions than Obama had. She has, I think she's doing well among public sector unions. I think the worry for her will be in the turnout campaign, the lack of excitement, particularly among African Americans and young people, that Obama won by big margins and also saw very large turnout. And so if Hillary is unable to match that, that could be a problem.
There's also been some talk recently, and Mara Liasson talked about this here just a bit ago here on NPR. Apparently in the last few days, we've seen a slight narrowing in the polls. Donald Trump up slightly in relation to Hillary Clinton, but apparently that is more about a bump in Hillary Clinton's negatives than about more support for Donald Trump necessarily. But at the same time, Trump is struggling in some states that are typically solidly in the GOP column. She referred to Arizona, Georgia, and possibly even Texas. Thoughts on how that is playing out?
Well, I think what you're seeing is that the convention bounce that Hillary Clinton got has dissipated fully at this point. Trump is back on message and less prone to gaffes in the last couple of weeks. And so you should expect some tightening across the country. I haven't seen much evidence that it's regional so far.
What do you make? She also commented that about half of voters polled say that they are primarily voting against a candidate as opposed to for a candidate. And she pointed out that it's still a close race because they are a couple of the most unpopular candidates in memory. Thoughts
right
on that?
Right. In fact, we don't have any polling that suggests any candidate that has as low favorability ratings as either of our candidates this time. So these are quite unpopular candidates. We're also seeing more third party and decline to state of preference voters than we've seen in previous cycles at this time. So it'll be interesting to see whether traditional Democratic and Republican voters come on board with their candidates. But that is what we would expect to see as we start in with the debates.
Back to the Detroit visits here by some of the candidates. Green Party candidate Jill Stein was also in Detroit on Saturday. You alluded to third party candidates here in your last answer. She focused on reducing poverty and ensuring that Detroiters have access to water. What kind of view do you have with regard to this year's third party candidates, the Greens and the Libertarians for that matter?
Well, we don't have a top-tier third-party candidate this year. Both have run before and gotten less than 1% of the vote. The chance for greater than 1% certainly is pretty high. I think the chance that they become a major factor in the race is low unless they manage to make it into the debates, which doesn't seem likely at this point.
I have heard that in the past, third parties may poll higher the earlier in the campaign than later in the campaign, just because the people who were inclined to support them earlier, as voting day approaches, they start to have doubts about the wrong person being elected, and they end up voting accordingly. Is that basically a part of the way you look at this?
It's absolutely true that historically, third-party candidate support declines as we get closer to election day, as people start to think about the wasted vote or the spoiler effect. But it's important to say this year we have not yet seen that. So Gary Johnson's numbers in particular are staying relatively high, and there's some sign that they actually increased somewhat. So we should expect that to happen as we get closer to election day, but we haven't seen it so far.
We have NPR's been reporting on this sporadically throughout the morning here today. We've got an unprecedented situation involving hackers getting into government websites, party websites here. It's a part of the news frequently here in recent months. This would appear to be so far-reaching, potentially, in terms of its impact. How do you, as a political scientist, put that into any kind of perspective?
Well, I think there's not a huge reason to be concerned about effects on our election process, particularly in Michigan, where we have paper ballots and a trail to follow up on any problems. But obviously, it's generally concerning that foreign governments would have access to U.S. websites. We've seen it in the corporate world pretty extensively, and so it may not be a surprise that it's coming to the political world as well.
There's also this crazy dimension to Donald Trump's, I shouldn't have said crazy, but it's unusual in that Trump has said that if Hillary wins, it demonstrates that it was a rigged election. And now we have learned of efforts to hack into these websites. It creates a really turbulent kind of landscape, it would seem to me.
Well, and since 2000, after every election, there have been people who haven't accepted the outcome and have thought that there was some rigging of the process.
This goes back a ways. Yeah.
There is definitely concern that after November, there'll be a section of the public who doesn't accept the election results.
We are talking about the presidential campaign and the ideologies of the two major political parties. Our guest is Dr. Matt Grossman, political scientist and author of a new book out this week called Asymmetric Politics. You're affiliated with what is called IPSR, the Institute for Political...
Public Policy and Social Research.
Policy and Social Research. A lot of words to keep straight there. And you run, IPSR runs the Michigan Political Leadership Program, and you are gearing up for another year of activities here. How does it work and what is happening?
Well, the Michigan Political Leadership Program is a 10-weekend program that trains future political leaders for Michigan. We do nuts and bolts campaigning. We do the governing process, and we do general leadership and organizational development. And it's currently our application period. So this month, you need to get in your applications if you want to be a future politician. You think you can do as well as our current slate of candidates, please. Throw your hat in and apply for our bipartisan statewide program.
The new class begins in January, but today you're making a special announcement about two upcoming speakers who will be there in March. Tell us more.
Right. So our annual dinner in Livonia and breakfast in Grand Rapids, we will have Howard Dean and Anna Navarro as our two speakers talking about the campaign that we will have just experienced. And I think talking about the future of the parties. Howard Dean was sort of the precursor. The Deaniacs were the precursor to the Bernie supporters. So I think he'll be able to comment on where they may be heading. And Anna Navarro has the difficult task of Latino and female outreach to improve the Republican brand among those constituents after this election.
And how can people apply to the program? I know the registration deadline's coming up pretty soon, actually.
That's right. So you can just go to our website, ippsr.msu.edu, and learn all about the program. And please come join us.
Always fun, always interesting. We want to thank Dr. Matt Grossman. We've been talking about the 2016 campaign trail and political leadership development. Matt is the director of the Institute for Public Policy and Social Research here at Michigan State. His new book, Asymmetric Politics, Ideological Republicans and Group Interest Democrats. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.